I want to begin this morning by talking about a popular song that many of us probably have heard by the Irish singer-songwriter Enya, that she sang, gosh, it's probably been 12, 14 years, maybe more ago. And it's no coincidence that this has happened this way this morning, because I had no clue the choir was singing this song when the Lord gave me this sermon. One of the songs that Enya sings is called How Can I Keep From Singing? Exactly the same song that the choir sang this morning. Some of the words had been changed by Enya, where she changes the word from Christ to love when she sings it. But the words have a very, very deep meaning in them. My life goes on, an endless song, above earth's lamentation. I hear the sweet, though far-off hymn that hails the new creation. Through all the tumult and the strife, I hear the music ringing. It finds an echo in my soul. How can I keep from singing? What though my joys and comforts die, my Savior still is living. What though the shadows gather round, a new song Christ is giving. No storm can shake my inmost calm while to that rock I'm clinging. Since Christ is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing? In this song, she sings, the choir sang, about how through the trials and tribulations of life, through the lamentations of every day, our weeping and our struggling through life as we battle this thing out, there's always a far-off hymn that is speaking to our soul, is coming to us in a way beyond what we can understand. And the purpose of it is to hail this new creation, to give us a new sense of hope and a new sense of direction. And it echoes in our souls, even though the tempest loudly roars. And if we stop to listen for a moment, it brings about the truth. Though the darkness closes around us, no storm can shake our inmost calm when to the rock of Christ we're clinging. And if we truly understand this and have been in this situation in our lives, we understand that of the Lord and the Lord alone gives us a song in our hearts to carry us along from strength to strength. This is a challenge for humanity today in our 21st century, especially the church today. And it is a challenge in our community, in our valley, that I've observed. And folks, the Lord's word reminds us that we can't stop singing. That as the church, we're not only a light, but we are this far-off hymn that continues to reach out to the world to speak to the inner souls of hurting individuals in our community. This has always been a challenge for God's people, especially in times of suffering. It's not only hard to keep a positive attitude, but it's harder yet to have a song in our hearts when we're suffering. But this is the time that we should, when we get into the depths of our suffering and our hearts are downcast and we're sad. These are the times we have to sing our praises. Singing is not always audible. You know, we have these songs that we can't get out of our heads. Sometimes we hum along with them. Sometimes we sing along with them. Sometimes we just allow them to carry us through the day. Singing is a way of expression, expressing something that's deep down in the soul. And I believe that it's not always opening our mouth in tunes and in tempos and rhythms and notes. However, if you notice, life is all about music. Everything in life, it has to do with tones and notes and tempos and rhythms. Our world today has grasped that in terms of marketing. When you watch a commercial on television, they all have music behind them. So when you hear the music on the radio, you think of that car. Or you think of this certain thing or that certain person, right? It all has to do with music. The news shows even have their own songs that kind of introduce them. Movies have soundtracks. They're designed to carry us along and help us identify and grasp the meanings and grasp the passion and connect us in ways beyond what we can imagine. We're all human beings. We may not like to sing. We may not be able to carry a tune, but that doesn't mean we aren't affected by it and that we should allow it to form us so that we too, in our living every day, sing in our own special way songs of joy to the Lord. This is a lost but important part of our spiritual journey in life, and it has been for all of God's people since the beginning of time. In Psalm 137, when we look at Psalm 137, here is a psalm of remembrance. When you look at this, you have to look at it in the context of all the psalms, especially the one before and the one after. In Psalm 136, the psalmist is saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, to Him who alone does great wonders, who by His understandings made the heavens, who spread out the earth upon its waters." Praising God and talking about God's attributes. In Psalm 138, David says, "I will praise You, O Lord, with my heart. Before the gods, I will sing Your praise. I will bow down toward Your holy temple and praise Your name." Sandwiched in between those, like a great Oreo cookie, is the cream. It's the cream. The remembrance of the time that the Israelites were in captivity in Babylon. Remember, they had turned away from God and disobeyed God and lost faith in God and worshipped all the other gods like we're doing today. And God said, "All right." And He warned them through the prophets, and they still kept doing it. And finally, He sent Isaiah and others to tell them, "Well, you're going into captivity. I'm going to allow the enemy to come in and take you captive, and you're going to be away for 70 years. But if you know the book of Isaiah," and we're studying this in Bible study, we're going to get back going here in September on it, we always find that the Lord gives the people hope. He says, "You're going into exile, but a time is coming when things will be greater. I'll bring you back, and I'll send you a greater king to lead you." So in Psalm 137, the psalmist is remembering those days in exile in Babylon. And the psalmist says, "By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion," remembering Jerusalem and the kingdom that they enjoyed. "By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and we wept when we remembered the good old days, how the Lord took care of us. There we hung our harps on the poplars." We sat and wept. Hung our harps up. Why did they do that? Because they were sad. They were mourning, as if God had left them or forgotten them. You see, in this ancient culture, the winner of the battles basically said, "Our God's better than your God." So in this setting, the Israelites in the north and south kingdoms were taken captivity to Babylon. So the Babylonians taunted them, even though they were allowed to live, and the prophet said, "While you're there, have children, settle down, build houses, and prosper." Still, they mourned because it was as if their God had left them and that there was no hope. So they hung their harps on the poplars. And our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, "Sing us one of those songs of Zion." In other words, they were adding insult to injury by tormenting the Israelites, saying, "Come on, you sing us one of your songs of joy, one of your songs of Zion. Look at the shape you're in now. Our God's better than your God. Our God's bigger than your God. You lost the battle. You're our slaves. Come on, go ahead, sing. We want to hear you sing now. Look at the shape that you're in." And the psalmist says, "How can we sing the songs of the Lord while we're in a foreign land? How can we sing in a situation like this?" You ever felt like that? "How can I sing when all this is going on?" And then the psalmist turns and says, If I forget you, O Jerusalem, if I forget you, may my right hand forget its skill. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I don't remember you, if I don't consider Jerusalem my highest joy. In other words, what the psalmist was saying, while we were in exile, our tormentors tormented us, said, come on, you sing your songs of joy. How can we sing songs of joy when we're in a situation like this? But yet we must sing songs of joy, because shame on me if I forget Zion, forget Jerusalem, forget the glory that we had through God when we were obedient. We must sing. How can we sing? We must sing. We must sing. Eugene Peterson's translation in The Message words it like this: along Babylon's rivers, we sat on the banks, we cried and cried, remembering the good old days in Zion. Alongside the quaking aspens, we stacked our unplayed harps. That's where our captors demanded songs, sarcastic and mocking. Sing us happy songs. Sing us happy Zion songs. Oh, how could we ever sing God's song in this wasteland? If I ever forget you, Jerusalem, let my fingers wither and fall off like leaves. Let my tongue swell and turn black if I fail to remember you. If I fail, O dear Jerusalem, to honor you as my greatest. How can we sing in a situation like that? We must sing in a situation like this. King Jehoshaphat made this a vital part of his armor, his battle. The surrounding kings were coming against his people to make war with them. And Jehoshaphat was terrified. If you read the story, it's one of the greatest stories of God's deliverance in the Bible. They didn't know what to do. They said, we don't know what to do. We don't know where to turn, but our eyes are fixed on you, Lord. So the story tells us that King Jehoshaphat first bowed with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down to worship the Lord. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. They were going out to war. And they set out. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and he said to his people, listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God and you'll be upheld. Have faith in his prophets and you'll be successful. And after he consulted the people, he appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise the Lord for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Now, you're going out to arm, you're going out to war. You ever feel like you're in a battle against the world, against life? And a battle. You have this great battle going on. The enemy might be a sickness. It might be a broken relationship. It might be a lost job. It's whatever you're dealing with. You find yourself in a battle. And first and foremost, it's a spiritual battle, because the devil's going to try and tell you, where's your God now? Let me hear you sing to him now. What did Jehoshaphat do? He appointed men to go out in front of the armies to sing and give thanks to God, because his love endures forever. That was their battle plan. It doesn't say anything about them taking weapons. What did they do? They sang. They sang as they went out to battle. And as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir. The men of Ammon rose up against the men from Mount Seir and annihilated them, first of all. And after they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they destroyed one another. And when the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert, looked out on the valley where they did battle, they looked toward the vast army. And what did they see? Only dead bodies laying on the ground. They went in, they plundered them, they took all of their valuables. It took 3 days to gather the valuables. Imagine the amount of men in that army that was defeated by what? By a song. Singing to the Lord in the midst of the battle. Have you ever sat by the rivers of Babylon? Hypothetically this morning, have you ever felt like you were sitting by the rivers of Babylon? You know, you're having a pity party. The tears are flowing. You're wondering where God is. You're wondering if God is, because things didn't work out. You even prayed to God and they didn't work out like you prayed. And there you sit wondering, where is God in all this? You feel so alone, don't you? You feel exiled. The world around you seems foreign. And something happens, someone comes along and even adds insult to injury in your situation. So how can we sing in times like these? This is no time for singing. After they crossed the Red Sea, Moses and Miriam danced and sang. The song's in the Bible, by the way. When Mary was given word that she would bear the Messiah, what did she do? She sang. When Paul and Silas were cast into prison in Acts 16, remember they cast the demons out of the girl that was making money for her owner. What happened? They got cast into prison. What were they doing? Around midnight they were singing. In prison. They were singing. What happened? The prison cells shook and the doors flung open. And they were free. In Revelation chapter 5, I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing. When he writes Revelation, he saw a lot of things, but he also heard a lot of things. And what did he see? He heard all these creatures in heaven, on earth, under the earth, and on the sea, and all that is in them, singing. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped the Lord. One reason we come to church on Sunday mornings is to sing. We come to be reminded of things. We come to be strengthened. We come to pour out our hearts to the Lord. And in our singing, we consider all the worlds the Lord has made. And when we think of these things, then sings our souls. That's the song we're going to sing in a little bit. But sadly, folks, today in our 21st century, the church has let the culture silence us. We've let the culture silence us. We're afraid to talk about Jesus. We're afraid to sing songs and hymns and praise to God. And we've let the culture silence us. The church has no longer become the authority in society anymore like it was not just that awful long ago. It wasn't that awful long ago that the church was a major authority in every community. And communities were structured according to the churches. Wednesday nights were taboo for school functions because Wednesday night the community was in church. What happens? Little by little by little, that far off hymn starts to become silent. Not because it stops, but because we're plugging our ears. Society doesn't want to hear it. We can't speak the name of Jesus. We can't praise our God publicly for fear of persecution. How can we keep from singing, folks? How can we keep from singing? When the singing stops, so does our joy and our witness and our victory. And like the harps hung on the trees along the rivers of Babylon, we become downcast with our heads hanging low in sorrow and defeat when we stop singing. We, the church, have to be the heralds of the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our purpose, you know. That's our purpose of the church, is to tell other people about Jesus and lead other people to Jesus Christ. Yes, we come on Sunday mornings to be edified in worship and to take our time together in corporate worship to praise God and to give God thanks. But the purpose of the church, the purpose of the congregation, the church, is to tell others about Jesus, to further the kingdom by leading other people to Jesus. Because you want to know something? Our world doesn't know how to get there. And unless we tell them, here, let me show you.
and help them on that journey they never are. Part of that journey is singing our praises in public, standing up for the truth, standing up for our faith, and clinging to the rock of Jesus Christ. In Psalm 42, the psalmist says, "The Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and His song will be with me in the night, a prayer to the God of my life." Now, you know, a lot of times we bow our heads at night in prayer to the Lord. And when we talk to the Lord, that's part of our song, part of our witness, part of our praise to the Lord God. The Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and we bow our heads at night in prayer and praise God. And maybe it might be in song. Because we have so much to think about as Christians in this world. We have so much to weave our way through. So much to sort out, but we have so much to sing about. So much to sing about. Paul told the Colossians in Colossians chapter 3, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God." Gratitude in your hearts to God. We sing to the Lord our God every day of our lives. It's part of who we are as Christians, as God's people, as God's children. It's part of our spiritual journey. And when we stop singing, when the singing stops, so does our joy, so does our hope, and so does our praise to God. The psalmist in Psalm 147, just 10 psalms later, says, "Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise Him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the numbers of stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble but casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make music to our God with the harp. He covers the sky with clouds. He supplies the earth with rain. He makes the grass grow on the hills. He provides food for the cattle and for the young ravens. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of the man. The Lord delights in those who fear Him, who put their hope in His unfailing love." Now, folks, I want you to stop for a moment and think what we would not have if we did not have that. If we had no God to go to, when we felt in exile, we felt alone, we felt defeated, if we had no God to go to, it changed the whole thing, wouldn't it? It changed the whole thing. But we have so much to sing about as Christians. And you know, it really makes an impact on the world around us. When the world steps back and says, "Wow, those people have all kinds of troubles too, and they're still singing. They're still singing. How is it they can sing at a time like this?" And as the psalmist today says to us, "I can't stop singing. I must sing. Shame on me if I forget how good the Lord is." Stop singing. Through all the tumult and strife, we hear this special hymn, this far-off hymn. "And though the tempest loudly roars, and the darkness around us closes in, no storm can shake our inmost calm, while to that rock we're clinging. How can we keep and singing of such an awesome God as the Lord, the Creator of the heavens and earth, loves us, walks with us through our struggles, and says, 'I will return you to glory.'" Let's pray. Our Lord and God, this morning as we consider your word,